Hello and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. That's Never Ending Retro Dialogue. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
Today we are doing our month in review for March of 2023. Hard to believe that it's pretty much, well, it's over already.
It's done.
It's kaput. Over.
Came and gone.
Came and gone. What, did it come in like a lion? Ooh. I don't remember.
You know what? I, for one, was shocked when we had to start thinking about doing this.
Yeah.
Because I felt like we had a couple more weeks, and we do not.
Well, you know what they say. Time marches on.
It sure does.
March.
on. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Very good.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's not a ton of specific topics to talk about, like a ton of different things, but I feel like the things that we are going to talk about, there is a lot to talk about them.
Yes, I would agree. When I was trying to write down everything I did this month to kind of review, it was not a long list.
Yeah.
But then I realized it's probably because there's one or two big things that kind of occupied a lot of my time this month.
For sure.
So yeah, so you know, you're going to have months like that. So hopefully next month and the month after I can, get back to all my nerdy things that I usually do.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like we didn't do anything nerdy. Everything we do is nerdy.
True story.
You know, but it was just like we had a couple big things and then some small things, so.
Yeah.
How was your month overall?
You know, it was a good month overall. I think so. We had the toy show, right?
Yeah.
That's always fun. I think this time around, we were organized a little bit better.
Yes.
Which, led to me not having a lot of extra time to do other things. But we had stuff priced, ready to go. Had a little bit more organization. We rented a van this time that was a little bit bigger. So it seemed to move more smoothly.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we had already done it before. And so we knew what we wanted to do. So it made that easier. But yeah, overall, it was a pretty chill month.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. I don't even think we did a lot of D&D this month. I think we met twice, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we had a cancel a couple of Mondays for various reasons, but we did meet up yesterday as far as when we're recording this anyways. So some big things happening there, so our group had some dumb luck and found something that we probably shouldn't have, but heroes got to be lucky too. So, but how about you?
It was an all right month. It had its ups and downs, but I was mostly bummed by the changes of the weather. I wanted it to be more consistently warm, or at least sunny. It didn't need to be super warm.
Yeah.
But it was, it was like up and down the whole time, so.
The weather has been a little odd. I'm hopeful, because for the toy show, we were down. And it was in the 20s, right?
It was below the 20s by the time we were done. Because when we were packing, or when we were unpacking, it was so cold my eyeballs were hurting.
Yes.
And I was like, I've never experienced this before.
Yeah, when we were setting up Saturday night, that was insane. So in order for all the vendors to get in and out, they have those big doors on the side open so people can just bring their loads in. And, I mean, that building was frigid. Wind was insane. Yeah, we ended up taking turns because it was ridiculous. But the next day, Sunday wasn't much better. It was a little bit warmer, but thankfully the wind wasn't as bad. But I think that kind of what made the show a little odd, too.
Yeah.
I was talking to a few vendors, and like us, everything was in spurts for them. A lot of people I talked to said that, they'd be busy for an hour or two, and then it was just dead.
Yeah.
For like, 45 minutes or an hour, and then it'd pick up again. There were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
We saw a lot of people shuffling through. I think it was just, like they said, it was in spurts. I know I talked to one vendor. He got hammered, he said, for like the first 4 hours of the show, and then it was nothing.
Yeah.
He didn't have anything the rest of the time. And now, I don't know what he had at his table.
Yeah.
So maybe it was indicative that all the good stuff he had got scooped up in those first 4 hours. Because if anyone's like me, when they go to a toy show, I make usually one round, look at everything. Unless there's something I absolutely, oh my God, I can't believe that's there. I don't buy anything the first time through.
Yeah.
I check everything out, make notes of what I want to go see again, and then that's what I do, is then I go back through the second time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's rookie hour if you buy something on your first round.
Yeah.
That's a rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake. Unless it is just something you've always wanted and,
right.
you rarely see at toy shows.
Right.
Then you make the exception. Yeah. But otherwise, you've got to check the whole show. Only if for the reason that more than likely, more than one table is going to have that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I felt like I had a pretty good variety of things, and most of the stuff I had, others didn't have, but we did find two other vendors with a couple of the same things. Yeah. So.
No, it was, I think it was a much, the setup of the table looked better. Not that the first year was bad, but I think you used the space. I think the way the space was used looked better this year.
Agreed.
I think that, and I was more accustomed to, because I'm used to tabling, but this is a different kind of show than a comic show. So I was more, I felt more confident in tabling, and just kind of being aware of where everything was and kind of pointing out different things to different people. Because, you know, before it was kind of like, oh, they're looking at this thing. But now it's like, oh, they're looking at this thing. Maybe I can interest them in this thing.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was more on as a sales, you know, as a sales associate for the Mary Math. But, yeah, it was a fun show. While we're talking about the show, I'll just say I met some cool people there.
Yes.
I met... I already met Tom Cook one time. Tom Cook is an animator who's worked on a ton of cartoons. What I did not know was that he worked on King of the Hill.
No, and I had not known that either.
Yeah, so there's that guy, he comes up to us and he says, there's a guy from King of the Hill over there. And I'm like, racking my brain, like, who could it be? And I go over there and I see at Tom Cook's booth a print of King of the Hill. And I'm like, oh, it's Tom Cook that worked on King of the Hill. So I had him sign that, I bought that. And then I was able to meet Kim Simmons. Kim Simmons is a toy photographer. He worked with Kenner to make Star Wars toy shoots. And he's basically the guy that inspired me to start doing toy photography. So I got to talk to him. He gave me some tips. And I got a picture with him and I bought a print. And that was really cool. That was all I really wanted from that. I didn't really need any toys or anything. So, I mean, the toys, there were a lot of cool toys. Nothing that really jumped out at me. But seeing those guys was like a big deal for me.
Yeah, I was shocked about the Tom Cook working on King of the Hill, because I had met him at a Wizard World years ago. I think it was the first one that I had ever taken Wyatt to. And maybe it was because I was such a He-Man fan and that's all we talked about. We also talked about Smurfs, because he worked on Smurfs and Super Friends and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so the funny story about Smurfs is, so, I mean, he was really cool. He sat there. He wasn't in a booth where you had to pay to talk to him or anything. You just, literally just went up and like, I went, oh my God, did you do He-Man? He goes, and he started talking about all the episodes he worked on and stuff. And I got an autographed print that he did from his He-Man universe. But so I was asking about other stuff that he did, and he talked about doing Super Friends and Smurfs, and there were a line of others. I don't remember him talking about King of the Hill,
though. Yeah.
And so, which I thought was odd. But I asked him when we met, what did he hate animating the most? What was the most difficult thing? Maybe not hate, but what was the most difficult thing to animate? And he said, anything that dealt with multiple Smurfs.
Oh, yeah.
And so he talked about one specific episode where they were doing Tug of War.
Oh, geez.
And you had a Smurfs on this side, Smurfs on that side. He goes, so I had to draw all these different hands and feet and everything doing motion. And it just cut over and over and over and over again. He goes, it was absolutely the most difficult and maddening thing he did as far as animation goes. So I thought that was fun. But yeah, he's, if you get a chance to meet him, if you love any of those old cartoons or King of the Hill or whatnot, he was great to talk to because he just, I mean, he would tell you anything. It was really neat. But I'm with you. I made my passes, you know, a few times as a consumer. And, you know, I'm getting to the point where it has to be something, you know, wow, to make me want to,
you know,
buy it and add it to my collection with my limited space. But we did find that one thing.
Oh, yeah. So, the one thing.
So as we're setting up.
It looms over us.
We're staring at him right now. As we're setting up that Saturday night, this gentleman and his son was setting up behind us. And at first we were getting, me and our buddy Weldy was getting a little upset with him, I guess is the best way to put it, because he was building his shelves into our space. If you guys have never been to a toy show, which, you know, I'm sure most of you haven't, but... So the tables are built back to back, and then there's, you know, a big open space in between so that you can kind of have your own shelves built up, but then you have your space to walk and sit and stuff. And he was horning in on our area, and me and Weldy were getting a little miffed because it's like, man, I don't want to have to have this conversation with him. And so we go back to setting up. It's like, maybe he'll fix it. Once he gets everything set up, he actually came up to us and apologized. He didn't realize he thought the tape markings on the floor were showing the halfway points.
Okay.
And I mean, clearly they weren't because the tape marking he was using came right up to our table.
Yeah.
So he apologized and he readjusted and we kind of worked together to, you know, put our shelves to where we weren't upset with each other. Then he starts stocking his shelves, and we look up behind us, and then there's a Japanese Tamara Unicron box, and I just stare at it. And then finally, before we left Saturday, I asked him, how much are you going to have on that? Because I'm going to be staring at that thing all day Sunday. And he told me, and we had our figure, what we thought it would... what it is, because I know what they go for online and stuff, and he was nowhere near it. He was well below that. So yeah,
well, and we should say
we came home with it.
If you're unfamiliar with the Transformers,
oh man,
Unicron,
you might be listening to the wrong podcast. Yeah.
we might have talked about this before, but Unicron is a giant Transformer. He's a planet that transforms and eats other planets. If you read Marvel Comics, he's a bit like Galactus.
Yes. He's the main antagonist in the animated movie.
86 movie.
Yep.
But he is huge. And I mean, this toy is, I mean, it's the biggest one you've got, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's huge. And he's orange and he's got horns and he's just evil looking. And in the movie, he was voiced by Orson Welles, which is just... a fact that never ceases to amaze me. But yeah, so yeah, that was, and you know, it was almost fate that it was right behind you that whole time.
Could not believe it.
Yeah.
Couldn't. That's one of the things that I've said that if I found at a show, I would get, because I wanted a Unicron. But most of the Unicrons you see these days are the newer, bigger one that costs infinitely more than what I spent on this one. But I can't believe he didn't sell it. I really can't.
It was meant for you.
So when the show was ending and we were getting ready to pack up, we had about, I don't know, half an hour left or something. I went over and asked him if he was still selling it. And, we snagged it. He thanked me profusely because he needed to make, I don't know how he did. We've been lucky the last couple of shows. We've gotten put next to people where it's their first show. This was his first show.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he did. He was doing a lot of painting and customizing old toys that, you know, just didn't look well anymore. So when he would paint them, they looked new again.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool, but I don't know overall how he did. And, you know, the tables aren't expensive, but they're not cheap either. So it felt nice. I mean, basically, that sale at least made him break even.
Right.
So that was kind of nice. But yeah, so Unicron looms. Don't worry. You'll have seen the picture I post promoting this podcast as we're recording this. I took a picture so that all can see. The only thing that's even close to his size is my Lego Lego Optimus Prime that Sharon got for me for Christmas. But he's still, what would you say, 3 heads taller than him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I put in reference in the picture the Holiday Prime that I finally got up on my shelf. And that'll show you how big that Unicron really is. Because that Holiday Prime is like a normal-sized Transformer. Yeah. It is. Unicron's beautiful.
Yeah, Unicron is sick. And it's... I'm in awe looking at it right now, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll ever transform him into planet form. The gentleman said it was quite easy to do.
Oh, really?
I just... Why?
Why?
I just... Yeah, he's going to stay like that.
Yeah.
Staring over at us, judging us, plotting our demise.
Plotting to eat our planet.
Yes. I'm sorry, Earth, if that happens. But yeah, so, I mean, overall... A good toy show.
Yeah. I will say one thing that kind of surprised me about the toy show was Pops didn't really seem as popular.
They did not.
As last year. Last year, they were like...
They flew. I mean, that was... Pops and comics is what I sold most last year.
And we do mean Funko Pops, Soda Pops.
Not Soda Pops. Yeah, the Funko Pops. I mean, we had the one purchase where the lady came by and bought all the Doctor Who Pops.
Yeah.
Except for one. And I think that's because she didn't see it.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was just a hand, you know, one here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It. Now, look, is that the signal of the demise of the Funko Pop? I mean,
I don't know.
You know, right before the toy show, you had the news.
Right.
That Funko had, you know, what was it, $31 million worth of merchandise was dumped in a landfill in California or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Just so that the market wouldn't get flooded. So, you know, it begs the question, you know, are we seeing the end
right
of the popularity of the Funko? I guess time will tell.
Yeah.
I was shocked that the Soundwave one didn't.
Yeah, that was
That did sell.
Did it?
We ended up selling that towards the end, remember?
We
made a deal with that one kid.
Yeah.
But that sat there forever. The Eddie Guerrero was the one.
Yeah.
I thought for sure the Eddie Guerrero pop would sell. Because we were getting asked about wrestling and anime constantly at the last toy show. So I bought some anime. I was able to get some anime-related things and some wrestling-related.
Right.
And then this time, neither sold. And neither asked.
The taste of the toy public is fickle.
I guess so.
They don't know what they want.
I'm not going to do the August show.
Right.
Because you'll have your mini-con that you put on. So anyone who's in the Central Ohio area, Jordan hosts a mini-con for the public library. Weather permitting, it's in the...
The pavilion. And it should be because it'll be in August.
It'll be in August.
August 26th, so the weather should be perfect.
Yep. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, so we're going to get more details for that as they emerge. So I'm sure you'll hear more about that on our other end of the month.
Absolutely. We'll keep everyone posted. And then there's going to be a toy show in Marysville. Some folks were passing out flyers, and there's going to be one in September. And it lucks out that I'm on vacation when it's happening, so I won't even have to ask for time off. But yeah, so it's going to be at the county fairgrounds.
Beef Barn.
So at the Beef Barn. So yeah, September 24th, that Sunday. But yeah, so I'm sure we'll talk about that more. So that'll be neat. I'm going to table at that instead of Columbus. It's literally a 5-minute drive.
Right.
Not even.
No.
From my house. So I won't have to rent a vehicle. I can just make a couple of trips and just use my car. So that's actually kind of nice. It'll be neat. It'll be neat to see, one, how many vendors they get. How many people actually come?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in.
You know, how well will it be advertised?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll post constantly about it on social media. But yeah, so that'll be neat to see. And then it'll be interesting to see if different things are popular.
Yeah.
At that show versus others.
Right.
So
it'll also be interesting to see the quality of product that people are offering, because like is it gonna be like a legit toy show, or is it gonna be like the one show we attended?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just a little cynical.
I'll be cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I believe the gentleman who organizing this organized one either last year or 2 years ago. I can't remember, and they had it at a local place. So let's hope that it goes well.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's a legit toy show and not a flea market.
Right.
That's always my concern. I mean, but even at the Columbus Toy Show, you get a few tables where you're just kind of looking at them going, you know, is this really... And I just... My big thing is, how do they sell enough to justify the cost of the tables and transporting all that stuff there? Because, the one... They get like 5 tables.
Yeah.
So I know how much that costs them. And it's like, you have to sell a ton of stuff to make up that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll keep everyone posted. Yeah. But I'll definitely go there to at least give it a try.
Yeah, I would be interested. I'd like to see the scene grow here too. You know, I'm all about local stuff.
Yeah.
So.
It'd be great if we could just, do everything here in this area.
Yeah.
And, I love the Columbus Toy Show, and I've loved tabling there the last 2 years, but it is a process getting there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, it's funny, because, I thought, the August one was oh, this was a lot of work. But I would do the August one again over the March one.
Yes.
If the weather was that bad, because it was just, the going in and out was,
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because I remember now talking with a guy who's been at several of the shows. And he tends to skip the March one because of the weather. And he says he feels like the August one, the sales are just more.
That's interesting.
And, I mean, now look, based on our 2 experiences there, I'd say he's right.
Yeah.
You know, August we did much better than we did, August we did much better than in March. But we still had a good show. I mean, it was well worth it. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I don't regret going. I would do it again, you know.
Oh, they're fun. Look, just having the conversations. You meet some interesting characters.
Yeah.
Saw a lot of great shirts.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
A lot of Mothman shirts.
Yes. A lot of Mothman. A lot of John Carpenter shirts this time around.
Yeah.
One dude had a customized hoodie that took a lot of different titles of John Carpenter movies and just put them in a line. So it was a great... That was a great hoodie. You know, the thing that I didn't sell that was the biggest shock to me, and of course Wyatt's not upset about it, and honestly I'm kind of not either, but the Snake Eyes.
Yeah, the Snake Eyes sword.
I've got a full-on replica Snake Eyes sword. I thought for sure that would sell.
Yeah, that was pretty well priced too, you know, for something like that, so...
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I might leave it boxed and take it to the September show.
Yeah.
And then if September doesn't sell, then it's mine. We'll see.
All right.
Snake Eyes, sword, and lightsabers. What else do you need in life? But yeah, so that was, I mean, the toy show was the bulk of my stuff.
Yeah.
Sharon and I finished watching The Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we finished that while Maddie was here on spring break, I think. And great show. I won't say much because I know you haven't watched it. Absolutely loved it. That last episode was just wow. Again, I can't say enough where they have these scenes where you're like, yeah, that's a cutscene in a game.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like you can see how that could be a cutscene. But very good. Mandalorian. We're loving. We did get a little bit behind on it. I had to watch 3 episodes last week. And so as we're recording, I think episode 5 comes out today. But we're enjoying that. And then my friend John will be, you know, he was happy to hear that I started season two of The Expanse, binged five episodes one day. So we're about not quite halfway through the second season.
Oh, you binged five episodes?
Yeah.
Wow, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. It was a day off. Nothing was going on. I think it was really crappy weather. Mm. So made some food and turned on the TV. I wasn't in a reading mood, which this month I kind of fell back into not reading a whole lot.
Yeah.
I read two things. I read Sacrament, which was a new miniseries for AWA, written by Peter Milligan, who's a British comics book writer. What would you say he's most known for?
Oh, God.
I know he did Hellblazer. He did a run of Hellblazer.
I'd have to Google
that. The Changing Man.
Yeah, Shade the Changing Man.
Yep, Shade the Changing Man. He did a miniseries called Enigma, I think, for Vertigo.
He's kind of like all over the place.
He is. But he does really well with these, like...
I want to say he did... he did the Ecstatics, I think.
Oh, there we go. Did some X-Force too, right?
I don't know. I'm trying to find his Wikipedia page because he's like a very famous British guy.
Yeah.
British comic writer. But I want to say he did some... Oh, he did Justice League Dark.
Oh, there we go. Well, which makes sense since he did some Hellblazer, so that's a nice transition. But yeah. Anyway, Sacrament, while you're reading over that.
Yeah.
Great read. Kind of... So it's set way in the future. The Earth is no more, and you've got these colonies on other planets, but you've got this priest and his... nun that go to these colonies and offer communion, but they have to do it in secret because it's outlawed. But he starts getting kind of haunted by this demonic presence, and it's one that he encountered when he was an assistant to a priest in an exorcism. So I mean, it's a Spanish Inquisition, it's Exorcist, and it's like Blade Runner, or or some kind of, pick any sci-fi.
Yeah.
It was wild. The artwork in it by Marcelo, and I hope I pronounced their last name correctly, Frusin, was amazing. I let John borrow it.
Yeah.
And as he described it, this book was metal. He loved the artwork. The artwork for him was very reminiscent of Warhammer.
Okay.
Story was just phenomenal. It was a great read. Fast read. Very engaging. It is not for children.
Yeah.
It is adult. TVMA, I guess I'll say. But yeah, very good. The only other thing I read was a one-shot called Clayface, One Bad Day.
Yeah.
DC's doing, and I think I've talked about other... One Bad Days, but they're doing, you know, these one-shot stories of Batman's rogues. And I originally thought they were doing, like, origin stories, but it's not what it is. It's just, you know, almost every single one I've read, it's, you know, either they're trying their shot at redemption, or, you know, they've moved past Gotham, and but things still just don't quite go right. And I thought this was... So this Clayface, though, it wasn't, it was Basil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very good. He was in Hollywood trying to make his way. And he just had a bad day.
Oh, jeez.
So a really bad day. but yeah, it was a good read. Written by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lenzink. And the art was by Zermanico. Artwork was phenomenal in it. When you can do clay, I mean, there's so much you can do with Clayface, right?
Yeah.
So they did a really good job with that. So it was a good read. That's all the reading I did. I haven't started a traditional book yet, like I've wanted to. So that's my goal for April. I want to, since there's not as much going on, I want to get back on some more regular reading. The only other thing, we watched Black Phone.
Yeah.
Which was released last year, but it's on Amazon. That was a good watch, based on story by Joe Hill.
Wow, yeah.
Ethan Hawke is creepy in it. Absolutely creepy. And it's set in the 70s, and this dude's abducting these kids, and they go missing. And this one that gets abducted, there's this black phone in the room, and he can talk to the previous victims. And, like, each one gives him one more clue on how to survive. So it's like, I mean, because they don't get into great detail, I envision, you know, this one only got this far, so then he helps the first one get a little bit farther, yeah. And then they meet their demise, and they help that next one get a little bit further. And the kind of nice thing is you don't get any backstory on Ethan Hawke's character. Mm. You don't know why he's doing this. You don't know why he is the way he is. Nothing. There's a couple of implications, but they don't get examined, which just kind of adds to the whole creepy vibe.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fantastic. But yeah, it was a good watch. Couple of jump scares, but it's more of a thriller.
Yeah.
It's not a horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
Other than that, the only other thing that we did that was news, we played a new game, Forbidden Island, which I think you've played before.
Yeah, that's the anxiety game for me.
Yeah. It was one of the nights when we canceled D&D kind of last minute. A group of us still got together because I already had dinner made up, and we decided to play a game. So we played Forbidden Island, a couple of rounds of it. And yeah, that game is, man, it was fun, but yeah, you're on edge, and it's a cooperative game, which is nice. You're not going against anyone. You're not trying to win. So your friendships can stay intact after it's over. Unless one of them goes rogue and decides to do something that doesn't really help the group, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you've never played Forbidden Island, it's you're a group of explorers trying to find these artifacts before this island is completely flooded. And each adventurer has their own kind of special skill that they can do. And so you're working together. You're planning out your moves to try to get these artifacts. And then you're trying to keep things from being flooded. Mm-hmm. And you need to get to that helicopter. And, I mean, it's a fast-paced game. We did some, as John says, some rules lawyering.
Yeah.
To justify a couple of moves. But yeah, we ended up beating it in the second go around. But yeah, it was a nail biter.
Yeah.
It was fun. I would definitely recommend it. It's up to 4 players. I don't know why you could do 6 though, because there's actually 6 pieces.
Oh, weird.
But it says 2 to 4. So maybe it's because there's just, if you did all 6, you'd go through the points too fast because you're drawing those cards, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, so that was fun. What about you? Any new reads or watches or anything?
Well, so my first big thing is that this is not any of those things, but I went to the Fan Expo in Cleveland.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Me and my dad drove up to Cleveland, and I went there with the express mission to meet the Trailer Park Boys.
Nice.
If you are not aware of what the Trailer Park Boys are, it is they're a group of Canadian TV personalities. They have a TV show. You can watch it on Netflix. Not for children, though. Don't watch it with your kids. So I got to meet them, and they were super cool. I was starstruck, so I didn't really talk to them that much. But then I got them to sign something, and then later on I got a photo with them. And I'm glad that I did both, because the photo was like, you had like 15 seconds, basically, to get the photo, and then you were gone. So I was glad I was able to like kind of talk to them and shake their hands and stuff. So that was really cool. The only problem with the Fan Expo was it, and you may have seen this on my Facebook, but it made me realize that I was old.
Yes, yes.
Because cosplay. I was looking at the cosplay costumes and I couldn't name 2/3 of them.
Oh, wow.
And that is when you know.
That's generation has passed you by.
And my dad kept saying, what's that guy? What's that? What's she supposed to be? And I was like, I'm in the same boat as you at this point. I have no idea.
Oh, that's funny.
So, it was a really cool convention, though. There were, but also, at the same time, it was, like, super overwhelming because it was probably the biggest convention I've ever been to.
Okay.
It, in terms of, like, it was really crowded. And, you know, it was a Saturday, so I knew it was going to be crowded, but, geez, it was huge, and there was tons of people there. But that was fun, you know, just to see them. I didn't really do too much because I didn't want to drop, like, more money than I did already, which was a considerable amount. So, so that was, like, the highlight of my month. But I've also been doing a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, on the Facebook, I've been doing a March Madness tournament.
Yes, yes.
My obsession with Goosebumps has resurfaced. So I did a March Madness tournament of all the Goosebumps covers. We are down to the final four as of this recording. By the time that we launch this on the last day of the month, it'll probably be over. So I'm not sure who's going to win. It's going to come down to a pretty tight race, I think.
So who's in the final four?
Let me get my
phone. And I've been voting on every single one, and I'm not. I've lost track where we're at with the brackets, but it has been fun seeing all of them. Some surprise winners.
Yes, a lot of surprise winners in my book. So Camp Nightmare is going up against Egg Monsters from Mars.
Uh-huh.
And The Night of the Living Dummy is going up against One Day in Horrorland.
Oh, wow. See, I know who I think should be meeting for the championship.
Yeah, I do too, and I think it's going to come down. But my problem is the Dummy versus the Horrorland, I'm not sure, though.
See, the Dummy's got to win that.
I don't know, because the Horrorland is such a cult favorite.
I know. And see, so I never read Goosebumps because they came out after me.
Right.
Right? They're for younger generations. I love the idea of the Goosebumps, and I've actually thought about reading some, even though they're meant for young kids. So I've been literally just voting based on how I like the cover.
Yeah,
The story has no effect on me.
Honestly, that's the best way to do it because, like, that's part of my problem is I know the story. So I'm like, like it came from beneath the sink.
Yeah.
I'm like, that one advanced so far, but it's about a freaking evil sponge. And I'm like, guys, if you knew that, would you vote for it? But it is about the covers. It's not about the story.
Because
I did a bracket years ago about the stories.
Yeah.
Where I read each one for Halloween. And I want to say the Haunted Mask won that.
Ooh, okay.
Story-wise. But Haunted Mask got knocked out by Night of the Living Dummy, so.
Look, as we talked about in the Twilight Zone episode, I've got a thing for the dummies.
Yeah.
Because that's my favorite Twilight Zone
episode. Yeah.
And those dummy covers, especially the Night of the Living Dummy, is such a creepy cover. Yeah. But I love the Camp Nightmare cover, too. It's just so simple.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
Yeah.
The egg one. That's one of those ones I can't believe that's gotten as far as it has.
I know.
Because it beat one that I thought that there was no way it was going to. But, you know, don't discount the funky eggs, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I'm really grateful to all the people that are voting every day.
It's had a lot of involvement.
It really has. I thought it was just going to be me making the decision. But then people started commenting, and I was like, wow. So, that's been a lot of fun. It's been really great to re-examine Tim Jacobus's art and just kind of do... I like the concept of March Madness. I don't care about sports, really, but I love the concept of the bracket, you know?
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, at some point, maybe we'll have to do one for the Nerd Podcast, you know? Either for nerddoms, which nerddoms better, or just take different things.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Video games or video game systems.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll have to work on that.
Yeah, but definitely there's a bracket in the future.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. They'll be fun. But, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I have never been to the Fan Expo, so.
Yeah, the Fan Expo is pretty good, but I don't know that I'd go again.
So, I know my biggest problem with Wizard World after a while is they started focusing way too much on, for me, is on the celebrity booths and guests, and that's almost everything that was there. You rarely had, you know, comic book stations or artists or anything, which is why I love the Gem City Con that they put on in Dayton. It is all about the artists and the creators of things. And then you've got a plethora of tables that, you know, had stuff for sale. So what was it like at Fan Expo?
Fan Expo had a huge artist alley.
Nice.
I mean, it was, like, overwhelming for me.
That's awesome.
And lots of stuff for sale. The celebrities were in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So artist alley was in the front, so it was all separated. And there were quite a few celebrities. Oh, Peter Cullen was there.
Oh, nice.
Now, I'm going to tell you, I wanted to meet Peter Cullen.
Yeah.
But one, his line was really long, and what I wanted to do was get him to record something.
Yeah.
But to do that,
yeah,
it was like a package that you had to pay $300 for.
Ooh!
Because it was... You couldn't just get him to record something. It was like part of the whole package.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, what?
Wow.
Which is like, I can see that happening at BotCon, but at Fan Expo, it was like...
That's really weird, because I know when we were talking about going to the Fan Expo in Columbus last year.
Yeah, the GalaxyCon.
The GalaxyCon. Because Kevin Conroy was scheduled to be there. Unfortunately, he passed before.
Yeah.
The GalaxyCon. He had a package where you could either have a picture with him, or you can get something signed. But he had a separate one where you could have him do a voice recording. Yeah. And you would get the file. And, you know, obviously that was one of the more expensive ones, but it wasn't part of a package, and it wasn't $300.
Right.
Good golly, man.
Yeah, I was, like, so bummed, because I really wanted to get him to say something. But
how awesome would that be, though, that he could be your, you know, voicemail message?
Oh, he was not going to be my voicemail message. He was going to be our podcast intro.
Oh, my gosh, there we go. Play the music, and then Peter Cullen's voice comes in. And now, live from Marysville.
I had it all worked out, but damn, I looked at the packages and I was like, okay.
Wow. That's some cheese.
So I'm going to look for him in the future and see what he's up to, but...
I wouldn't mind going to a BotCon again.
Yeah, I'd like to go to one.
Those things move... what's great about them is they move all over the place. But what sucks about them is they move all over the place.
Yeah.
The one and only one that I went to was in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was great. It was a great setup. And, of course, we got to see family down there, too. So that was always nice. But, yeah, that was a heck of a time. And I will tell you, it was interesting to see the difference in attendees at a BotCon versus, like, at a Wizard World or just a regular Comic-Con or comic show or toy show. It was a different level, I guess, of the person that attended. Even Origins Game Fair, we went to that last year, Sharon and I did. And that was a whole other... What was neat about Origins Game Fair is the absolute diversity you saw in the people that are there. Because you had people walking around that you would... consider, you know, yuppies, I guess, for lack of a better term. And then you had the hipsters, and then you had your what I'm sure most people consider people that go to shows like that, you know, they hide in mom and dad's basement. But then, you know, it was wild to see. And I mean, everyone's on board for going this year. We talked about that on Monday at the D&D.
Well, that would be a birthday extravaganza
exactly.
for me.
So I'm going to keep an eye on tickets as we plan this out for everyone, you know, on the podcast. But yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on tickets so we can all get it so we can go that Saturday. So that'll be fun.
The other thing that I want to talk about.
Wait, there's more?
There's more.
Oh, okay.
Wait, I dropped it now. Oh, I've been working on a secret project
that's
coming to fruition.
Yes.
I don't know how much I can say.
Probably not much.
On this, because it's not out yet, but it will be out probably in the next month. But it is a book that I've been working on for a while. I got the majority of it done last year. I knocked it out the rest of this year. So, I got the proof of it yesterday. So, it's looking good.
Yeah.
I made one minor change, and it's in review to be published right now. So.
That's awesome. So, here's what I'll say, because I've been lucky enough to see the progress on this. the cover of this book is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, and I want to give a special shout-out thank you to Aaron Lindemann, who did the cover. Aaron and I are frequent collaborators, and I knew that for this type of book, he would be the one to do it, and he knocked it out of the park.
It is absolutely, yes, it is phenomenal. I cannot wait until you can start sharing it, because, it's going to be awesome.
I hope that the insides of the book are as good as the outside of the book.
Oh, I'm sure they will be.
But it is...
And hopefully going to be part of a series, right?
Oh, it's definitely going to be part of a series. I've already got several more ideas.
Yep.
But this is going to segue into the next thing that I want to talk about.
Yes.
Because it's about writing.
Yeah.
The other thing that I've been doing this month is I've been taking a master class.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's right.
I've been taking a master class from R.L. Stein, who is the author of Goosebumps, and he's teaching writing for young audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And my book is written for young audiences. So I wrote the book, and then I was like, I'm going to take this master class. So I'm learning some things, but I'm also getting some of the choices I made reinforced.
Yes.
Which is really cool. To hear that, because it's like, oh, he could have just said like the exact opposite of everything that I did, but some of the things that he said, I'm like, oh, I did that.
That's awesome.
Now, I've never done a masterclass. I've done a BBC Maestro,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a masterclass, but for BBC, with Alan Moore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
But this one is quite different. They're both writers, but they just approach writing in such a different way, and obviously mm-hmm. Alan Moore is writing for more mature audiences.
Just a little bit.
But yeah, I don't know. It's been a very cool experience. I'm going to do some other master classes. I'm going to do Judy Bloom,
because
mm-hmm. She's also teaching writing for young readers. And probably Neil Gaiman, because he is Neil Gaiman, so why not?
Why not learn from him?
Yeah. So it's been an excellent adventure so far, and I'm very excited to see. It's been a couple days since I've been able to sit down and really listen to R.L. Stein talk, but that's probably one of my favorite experiences of this month was signing up for that masterclass.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait until we can share all that
news.
That'll be fun.
I've lined up a couple people who are going to get some books because they have young readers, and I want to see how they feel about it. So
nice. Well, there is one more thing we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Because you made me write it down. And that's the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Trailer. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what is it called? Mutant Mayhem?
Mutant Mayhem, yes.
Yeah.
It's an animated movie that's coming out later this year?
In August.
In August, correct?
I think so.
Heck of a cast, voice
really,
cast.
Really, yeah.
I mean, you got Jackie Chan as Splinter.
Yeah, Splinter.
Seth Rogen, who I think, isn't he a producer on this?
Yeah.
He's either Rocksteady or Bebop.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Bebop, and I think John Cena is Rocksteady.
That's right. I think you're right there. Gosh, I forget now who
Paul
else.
Paul Rudd is in it.
Oh, yes, Paul Rudd. There's a ton of other people.
Yeah.
The animation style, if you guys haven't seen the trailer, is very reminiscent of Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
So it's very. Stylistically just looks amazing.
Yeah.
The trailer we watched, I really liked. I'm hopeful with everyone that's involved that this will be a nice adaptation.
Yeah.
I did not watch either of the Michael Bay movies
because
I just don't feel, yes, I didn't feel like they were going to be worth my time. So I'll just go back to watching my Corey Feldman Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
But, so that looks really good. I'm excited to see that one.
But yeah, it looks great. The cast looks amazing. I almost wish it was a show, though, because with all the characters that they're going to have in there.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like,
Oh, yeah. Giancarlo Esposito's in it, too, right?
Because
he's Dr.
Baxter Stockman?
Yes. Baxter Stockman, yeah.
Of course.
They're going to have a ton of people in it. So it begs to wonder, are they going to, you know, will this be a line of movies
right.
that they can go off into?
Well, that's the thing with the Turtles. It's always been a franchise, you know, so I'd find it hard to believe that this is a one and done.
Yeah, I hope not. It looks absolutely amazing. I guess really quick, you've got John Wick's coming out soon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
From the people who have watched advanced screenings of it, they absolutely love it. They say it's the best one since the first one.
Jeez.
And, I mean, 2 and 3 were great, so that'll be interesting. Dungeons & Dragons comes out when this podcast will air. So it comes out March 31st, and I am actually really looking forward to going and seeing that. Yeah. I want to go see that in the theaters, because I've heard a lot of great things about
it. Yeah, I have too.
I've loved the trailers. I'm going to go into it with an open mind, because since I'm still kind of a born-again D&D player. But it just looks like a fun movie, which is all I ask, is that I'm entertained for the most part. But yeah, so I can't think of anything else that's coming out close that we need to address.
I don't think so. I think we've covered a lot of nerddom.
We have.
For 1 month.
Yeah, so we'll see what April brings us.
April showers.
Yeah. Well, nerddom will rain down upon the realm.
On the masses.
Yes, and we will sprout up new nerdlings for them to go out into the world.
Into the world.
There we go. That sounded, if a cult ever begins, that's the beginning
that's
right
the
there.
Beginning. That's how a cult starts.
That's how a cult starts. Good Lord. The feds are going to show up on our doorsteps.
That's what that red light is.
That is what that red light is. Oh, my God. This is how Skynet begins.
Oh, man. You're the second person that said that to me in the last couple days, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Not good.
Oh, anywho, anything else? You got anything?
Nope, I got nothing.
Yeah, so, hey, you know, hopefully you guys enjoyed. We appreciate all of you for popping in and listening to us drone on about things that we enjoy, and hopefully it either brings back some memories of things that you've liked or gets you to try something new. And as always, check us out on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and let us know anything you've done fun this month that could fall into the realm of nerdiness.
Yeah, we want to know what the fans have been up to too, you know.
I will say this as a tease. This will be the final tease.
Okay.
And I think I already talked to you about this, but Sharon mentioned, you know, to do something a little interactive at the beginning of the month so that at the end of the month can kind of interject it into the end of the month. So if you guys do follow us on the social media stuff, keep an eye out, because we're going to put that out at the, you know, first couple days of April. And it'll just be something stupid, dumb, fun. but it'll give us something else to talk about at the end of the month. So keep an eye out for that on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And we'll see where it goes.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks again. And, you know, as always, stay nerdy.